You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has recently released a new report, the second in its series. The 2022 report focuses on impacts, adaptation and vulnerability, looking at ecosystems and human communities. It reviewed how vulnerable we are and how adaptable the natural world and human societies are and how we can adapt to climate change. I spoke to Professor Bronwyn Hayward from the University of Canterbury, one of the researchers who worked on the report. I first asked her about the general findings from the report.
The main finding of the report overall is that the weight of new science is telling us that we are moving much more quickly than we expected to reach the limits of what we can adapt to as people and the planet. But this is kind of already obvious to people if you only need to look at the flooding that we've had in Westport and the way it's repeated, or just right now in Brisbane and Queensland with 8 deaths and 50,000 homes without power today. People can't cope much longer, and some of the changes that we've seen, particularly the impacts that we're starting to see on our marine ecosystems and our freshwater, are already irreversible, which I think is a bit of a shock to people as well.
What's the difference between the findings of this report and the ones from the first IPCC report released last year?
So there's three reports that come out in a series. One is on the physical science, what's happening, and that's the report that came out last year. This one is on how it affects people and the planet. And then the next one, which comes out in April, is on what we can do about it in terms of cutting our emissions and slowing down the changes. But this report is different. The IPCC is a global network of scientists and experts, and it's been writing reports warning about climate change and monitoring the science for 30 years. But I think what's particularly important about this report is it's telling us that, for a start, there are 40% of the world, about 3.5 billion people, are now highly vulnerable to the climate changes that we're seeing, the big floods, the fires. And the people who are most vulnerable are the poorest, people that are living in cities in particular, but also rural communities, the elderly, disabled, Indigenous and ethnic minorities, and young people. And I think one of the things that sort of still shocks me is that a child that's born now, if we go over 1.5 degrees of warming, and we're already at 1.1 degrees warmer than we were back in the 1880s when we started using a lot of fossil fuels. So once we go over 1.5, which this report predicts we'll do sometime in the 2030s, then those babies that are born now will see four times the increase in floods and extreme events in their lifetime than we've already seen. So that's quite hard to take in, and it's a lot in the middle of a pandemic and a war to be telling people that the climate is really bad and we really have to act now in order to protect people. But that's what this report is saying.
What are some of the steps we can take to mitigate these problems? Like, obviously, people are throwing out the word irreversible quite a bit, which is concerning, but what steps can we take to kind of reduce these impacts?
Yeah, the word irreversible is scary, and it refers particularly to loss of marine species, to ecosystems, and also to some of the sea level rise, which is already baked in. So one of the things we need to think about is how we protect coastal communities, and that's a big issue for New Zealand, where about a huge number of us, over 80%, live within about 5 kilometres of the coast. So, but it's not just about building seawalls or just planting lots of trees, because in fact both of those are quite problematic for increasing risks for the communities that live next door to the seawall or the big forests. What the report's saying is we need to think about other things like social protection. So thinking about what we've had to do with COVID, actually, income replacement, insurance, supporting health and education of communities, because it's the poorest and the most vulnerable who are going to be most affected by this. And we also need to think about the ways in which we can work with nature so that we are planting around cities to absorb flood water, but also provide trees and shade, that we're providing green parks that are both areas that can provide cooling and areas that can provide recreation, as well as secure and affordable housing. So all of this is expensive, and that's the other reason that the report is saying we need to be working with the national levels of funding, so bring national level funding in, but also involve local voices, and particularly Indigenous and local knowledge, community partnerships. So it's not just about being led by central government, it's got to be a partnership, and that's hard. I mean, we've already seen in COVID, when we're facing these big threats, we're better when we all act together, but we face a huge problem because after a while people get tired of it, they get sick of it, they start getting fractious.
Mm.
We have to find ways to cooperate now into the future because our lives and future lives depend on it. Is that 195 governments have actually signed it off, and they've acknowledged that the impacts that we're seeing now are a risk for human rights and justice, and that we need to work in partnerships with Indigenous knowledge. Now, 10 years ago, countries weren't even agreeing that climate change was a thing. Now they're acknowledging that it has human rights implications, which really paves the way for accepting that they are liable if they don't actually take action now.
I also spoke to Anita Reeford from Lincoln University, who was in charge of the Australasian economic and agricultural approach in the report. I first asked about the agricultural and economic side and what she found out.
Right. Well, the report highlights, I guess, some of the impacts of climate change that we're already seeing. So we're already seeing an increase in the frequency and the intensity of droughts, for example, and some of them we're able to say now that they are more likely to have occurred as a result of climate change than if we weren't in a changing climate. We're also seeing things like changes to our seasons, and so the way our crops and pasture grow in those seasons are different. So those are things that that's already happening now, and our farmers and growers are having to cope with that now. The report also, of course, highlights how climate change will affect our systems into the future. So we're likely to see more of these extreme events, changes in rainfall patterns. So the north and the east of New Zealand is likely to get drier, while the south and the west is likely to get wetter, and it will change and seasons will be different as well, and sort of that regional change. There might be some benefits for agriculture. There are, and forestry. There are modelling studies that look at the impact of increased carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and how that affects some of our crop growth, and it might improve growth, but they don't factor in the extreme events that I've talked about, like droughts or windstorms and forestry and things like that. So we need to take those potential benefits with a real grain of salt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the report also highlights about adaptation, so what we can do to offset or cope with these impacts. And we can see that farmers and growers are already making some changes, so maybe to the timing of when they sow or harvest their crops. But I guess, and they've been able to cope with the impacts to date, but as the temperatures increase and the climate change becomes more extreme, then what they've been doing until now won't be as effective, and we'll need different kinds of strategies to cope into the future.
Why is it so important that we invest in adapting to this now rather than later?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the report throughout, and also in our chapter, highlights that if we take action now, we can avoid higher costs into the future. And so if we invest now, it is going to be expensive, but we can avoid some of the things that we're seeing at the moment, like even in New Zealand, but also now in Australia with floods and things like that. If we invest in adapting to that kind of impact now, then we can help our communities and sectors cope as those events occur into the future. If we don't do that, then those costs of those impacts and the disruption that causes to our communities and our sectors will increase over time, and our insurance may no longer be able to cope, so they might withdraw and people might not have so much insurance coverage. And then individuals will have to pick up the costs themselves, which will become very costly, and it will also increase that inequality between the people who can afford to pay for the damage to their homes and those who just can't. So while it is expensive and challenging to adapt now, it's really going to be better than delaying action. And as the temperatures increase, it will be much harder to adapt in the future as well.
Mm. What are some key policy recommendations as a result of the findings of the report?
So the IPCC is careful to, it's really provides a synthesis of the scientific evidence, and it provides, I guess, examples of what we can do, but it's very careful not to be policy prescriptive, so not to tell the policymakers what they need to do. It sets out the evidence for them. But we know that that if we want to have resilient societies in the future, then the kinds of policies that will support this are those that are consistent across different policy areas. So while we need climate policy, we also need all our other policies to consider climate change in them. We need to have really strong, I guess, clear messages from government that they're committed to this, to tackling climate change. And we also need to have participation in our in those processes. So we need to hear the voices of everyone who's affected, and different kinds of voices and different groups of people across society, so that everyone's interests are being considered and understood.
That was Professor Bronwyn Hayward and Professor Anita Reeford, two researchers from the IPCC Climate Change Report released this morning.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.